Thank you, Brother Chris. Thank you for coming today. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. As we look at real unusual, that's story in the Bible today about a demon-possessed man who was healed. That's my understanding. And I went to Israel some years ago, but this is possibly where the story took place. The demoniac of Gadara. Mark chapter 5. If you're able to, I'm going to ask you to stand as we read God's Word. Beginning in verse 1 of Mark chapter 5. God's Word says, "And they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gadarenes. And when he had come out of the boat..." Jesus came out of the boat. "Immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one could bind him, not even chains, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces. Neither could anyone tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshipped him. And he cried out with a loud voice and said, 'What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God that you do not torment me.' For he said to him, 'Come out of the man.'" Jesus said this, "Unclean spirit.' Then he asked him, 'What is your name?' And he answered, saying, 'My name is Legion, for we are many.' And he begged him earnestly that he would not send them out of the country. Now a large herd of swine was feeding there near the mountain. So all the demons begged him, saying, 'Send us to the swine that we may enter them.' And at once Jesus gave them permission. Then the unclean spirits went out and entered the swine. There was about 2,000. And the herd ran violently down the steep place into the sea and drowned into the sea. So those who fed the swine fled, and they told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what had happened. They came to Jesus and saw that the one who had been demon possessed had a legion sitting and clothed in his and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And those who saw it told them how it happened to him and who had been demon possessed and about the swine. And they began to plead with him to depart from the region. And when he had gotten to the boat, he who had been demon possessed begged him that he might be with him. However, Jesus did not permit him, but said to him, 'Go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion on you.' And he departed and began to proclaim in Decapolis all that Jesus had done for him, and all marveled." Father, bless your word. In Christ's holy name, amen. Please be seated. As you and I know, we are in a war with evil, with all forms of evil, violence and every kind of evil, terrorism and all kinds of things in our world. All you have to do is just look back to September the 11th, 2001, or any of those in between, and things that happened, even recently. But this enemy that we encounter, that we have to deal with, we visibly see a lot of things, but there is another enemy that we don't see, but is still just as important. Revelation chapter 5 tells us that God's angels are many. And Revelation 12 tells us that Satan, or the dragon, has 1/3 of all the angels in his arsenal. So Satan has 1/3 of all the fallen angels. God has two-thirds of all the non-fallen, the ones that are still serving God, angels. So God has 2-1. Revelation chapter 12, verse 3 says this, "And another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great fiery dragon, having 7 heads, 10 horns, 7 diadems on his head. His tail drew 1/3 of the stars of heaven and threw them to earth." So that's a reference to the 1/3 of all the angels that were in heaven when Satan was kicked out of heaven, when he was, the angel that was kicked out of heaven, 1/3 of the angels went with him. Isaiah chapter 14 also alludes to it. Verse 12, "How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations, for you have said in your heart, I will ascend unto heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." That's what Satan said before he was kicked out of heaven, or when he was kicked out of heaven. And so we are dealing with Satan and all of his demons, perhaps millions of demons in this world today. And I want you to know, dear friend, that the demons are just as real as the divine is. So let me give you a few truths today from Mark chapter 5. And that brings me to my first point. The demonic world is just as real as you and I sitting here today. Just as real as you breathing and talking and carrying on, the demonic world is just as real. It's no fairy tale. It's as real as you and I, and things that go on with the demons and all of the stuff in this world with demoniacs, with demons, happens every day. Many of our problems of our world have no human answer because they're rooted in the power of Satan. They're rooted in demons and all of that. You can't read the Bible without seeing the presence of Satan. And in the story today, the demons were destroying this one man's life. And they want to destroy our lives too. They want to do all they can to ruin our family, to ruin our culture, to ruin our friendships, ruin our church, our community. And I say, dear friend, and this is a little strong, but I'm telling you, all of these things people flirt with thinking it's just okay to just play with them a little bit, these psychics and tarot cards and Ouija boards and all that kind of stuff. Leave it alone. Because it's demons fooling with that stuff. I'm telling you, levitation and all of those things, stay away from them. You're inviting demons to be with you, to be around you. Stay away from that. We see it all on the TV, even in kids' shows, cartoons, Disney Channel, whatever. We see it everywhere. People are flirting with the devil. And so God wants us to leave that stuff alone. The demoniac of Gadarene, though, he was somebody's son. He was he was somebody's husband, or maybe even he was somebody's dad. But he was full of demons. And demons run his life. They controlled his life. He couldn't do anything because he was stuck up there in those tombs where people were buried. There was no doubt the people of Gadara knew that this was real. They knew it was real because they saw this wild man who had no clothes on but acted just like crazy all the time, cutting himself and crying and screaming and running around up there. They knew this man was changed by Jesus when Jesus came. He wasn't the same man anymore. That's why they questioned him. And so I want you to know, dear friend, that the demon world is just as real as the divine world. The second truth I want you to know is without God, you and I, we're helpless. We can do all we want to do. We can get all the education we want to get. We can even receive all the inheritance and money. We can get all everything of this world. This world has to offer. Our health can be like it was when we were 18. But without God, you're helpless. You can't make it. You think you can, but you can't. Verse 2 tells us that this man, again, lived where dead people lived, among the tombs. Satan influenced this man so much that he felt more comfortable to be around dead than the living. That's how he ruins our life. He makes us more comfortable to be around sin than to be around God's holy word. That's why people don't like to come to church, because they don't want God's word to influence them. They don't want to be affected by God's word. They want to continue to sin. They want to continue to watch what they want to watch, do what they want to do. That's Satan. That's how he works. That's how he operates. Notice the man in verse 3 and 4 could not be tamed. That's what it says. No one could tame him. They put chains on him. They put shackles on him. They weren't strong enough. Couldn't bind him. No way to bind him. No one could influence him. No one could control him. He yielded to no one. You know, our world is becoming more and more violent. People have a violent disposition more today than they've ever had, perhaps, I don't know, maybe in the days of Noah. But our world is becoming more and more violent. Nobody can teach many people, whether it's a young person or an adult, nobody can teach them anything because they just want to be mean. They want to be violent. They won't listen to authority. Maybe they're like this man. Maybe they're led by the demoniac. I know there's other reasons perhaps in some cases, but perhaps there are cases where people are demon-possessed and they're just violent, just evil, mean. Excuse me. Notice in verse 5, he continually cries. Look what it says. He's crying. He's crying out. He's screaming. He's yelling. He's hollering. I wouldn't want to have a house near the tombs, because at night, instead of hearing a dog bark or a cricket, you heard a man crying, screaming, bloody murder. What a sad state. But this is a state of someone who follows Satan rather than follows Jesus. It's a dysfunction. It's a emotional state that's nowhere near the way God wants you and I to be. It's making people so much different than they should be, than they could be. Notice the guy in verse 5 also abused himself. He cut himself with stones, it says. He didn't feel worthy to live anymore. So he did what he could do to just mutilate his body. He didn't like the body God had given him. So he cut it. We live in a society that glorifies your body. And many people don't like their body. And so they mutilate it or they denigrate it all the time. Sure, some of us are perfectly shaped well. Some of us can eat and never gain any weight. But most of us aren't like that, are we? Most of us get rounded a little bit. Most of us just, we get gray hair. We have to wear glasses. We can't help it. And we just have to say, God, you know, I can do better, But whatever you've given me, I'm just going to accept it. I love it. My nose may not be as straight as I wish as somebody else's is, but I'm just going to accept it. We live in a society that's not like that. The guy abused himself. The guy's continually crying. He could not tame himself. Let me give you the third truth real quickly. Only the Lord Jesus, only the Lord Jesus has power over Satan. No one else. Luke chapter 11, let me give you this verse. Look how powerful the Lord is. We know how he is because you guys are familiar, but just a finger of the Lord Jesus can cast out demons. That's what Luke 11, 20 says. But if I, Jesus says, cast out demons with a finger. That's all it takes. He has power. He's the only one that has the power. In other words, it only takes something very, very small because he's so powerful. He's all powerful to cast out demons. That's all it takes. There's no comparison between the power of God and Satan. It seems like Satan is winning. But God has relinquished power to Satan right now. That's why you and I have a free will. So we will choose the right thing to do instead of choosing the wrong thing to do. One day we'll be gone. We won't have a choice anymore. Right now, we have a choice, just like Adam and Eve. They had a choice. They chose the wrong. They sinned. Unfortunately, we're like that too. That's why we need the Lord Jesus. That's why we need his power. Notice the legion of demons begged Jesus. Toward the end of the story there, they begged Jesus to put them in these swine, in the pigs. You ever wondered why they wanted to go into the swine? Why would they ask that of the Lord Jesus? Well, I'm not really sure. It doesn't say, but I would say one of the reasons possibly why Jesus permits what they ask or allows what they ask is so he may prove to those watching, those around, his disciples and others, that these demons weren't imaginary. They weren't fictitious. They were real. And so Jesus perhaps did that so they could see the demons come out of this man and go into all of these 2,000 hogs. And as they left the man, peace began to settle over this man. It's like salvation. Once we surrender to the Lord Jesus, excuse me, not pray a little prayer, but once we yield ourselves to him, once we give ourselves to him, that peace comes over us. Not a peace that everything is going to be perfect. No, not in this life, but a peace that whatever happens, God is still in charge. If we die today, God's still in charge. If something bad happens in our family, God's still in charge. As I mentioned Wednesday night, Philippians 4:4 tells us to rejoice in the Lord always. Always. Not rejoice in my condition. Not rejoice in my calamity. Not rejoice in my problems. Oh, God, thank you for me losing my child. God, thank... No. We don't do that. God, thank you for this. No. Not in our problems. We thank God. We rejoice in him. Thank you for my salvation. Thank you for preparing a place for me. Thank you for looking after me each day. Thank you for giving me the Holy Spirit to help guide me. Rejoice in the Lord, not rejoice in our problems. But as soon as the demons left this man, he became peaceful. He became a different man. And perhaps we see the curse of sin as well. Brought upon sin and animals. When Adam and Eve sinned, the curse came upon man and sin, man and animals. You know, did you know that Jesus didn't make it a mission? Many people are so confused and deceived in this world. Jesus didn't make it a primary mission of this world to protect the rights of animals. And we love animals. But that's not why Jesus came. Or to uphold the environment. We love the environment. We thank God for the environment. But God didn't make it a mission of His for you and I to uphold all of that. That'd be primary. Let me give you a verse. Hebrews 2:14. Since the children have flesh and blood, He too shared, Jesus shared in their humanity, so that by the Lord's death, He might break the power of Him who holds the power of death. And that's temporary. Right now, He holds the power of death. That is the devil. So that's why Jesus came, to break the power of death. That's why He died on the cross, to break the power of death. That's what the Bible says. The demonic of Gadara was held hostage by Satan. And when Jesus came, He became an evangelist. He began preaching. Wouldn't you love to hear His testimony? If I said, welcome this morning, the demoniac of Gadara. Wouldn't that be incredible? It'd be awesome for Him to talk about how He was tortured in the tombs. And then He found Jesus. So here's the question for you. Just like the demoniac of Gadara, is there proof that God's changed your life too? Has God worked in your life in such a way that the sin that you used to love, that you don't like anymore, has God worked in your way in such a way that you love the Lord Jesus? Do you do everything perfect? No. But do you love the Lord Jesus more? When it's all said and done, you love Him more than anything else? Is there proof that you've got a changed life? If not, let Him change you. Ask Him to save you today. Ask Him to come into your life and make Him the person that you need to be. Not perfect. Not any of that. We'll be perfect one day when we stand before Him. But right now in this world, it's a cursed world we live in. You need Jesus. You need Him to make it day by day by day. Because He has power over Satan. And Satan is alive and well. So if that's you, you just need to pray. You need to come to the altar. You need to have me to pray with you right where you sit. Just cry out to Jesus today. Trust Him. Let's pray. Father, thank You for the changed lives of so many people in this room. We all are like the demoniac of Gadara. We're broken. We're confused, we're twisted, and we need Jesus, Lord. So, Father, if there's one in this room that You're convicting, You're revealing to them today that they've never truly surrendered. They may have prayed a little prayer, they may have been baptized when they were a baby, I don't know. Lord, but You know everything, and there was never a change. They weren't like this man. That when Jesus came, Your Son, Lord, they were different after that. Father, I pray that people will realize that there's nothing more important than salvation. Nothing more important than trusting the Lord Jesus. In Christ's holy name, amen.